The date is October 6, 2021, which means you are on the cusp of one of nature's greatest spectacles. No, not leaf peeping. Another episode of The Other Side, the official podcast of the finest comedy club in all the land, the DC Improv. I'm your host, Chris White. Since opening its doors in 1992, the DC Improv has been known as one of the top stages in the country for stand-up comedy. That's our bread and butter, stand-up. But, as a comedy club, we're still in our 20s. We're open to trying new things. Which is why, on October 20th, a Wednesday night, for the first time in DC Improv history, we are turning our main showroom over to sketch comedy. More specifically, the amazing DC area sketch troupe, Bad Medicine. We started working with Bad Medicine in 2019. They came into our comedy school and took over our sketch program. We also started doing Bad Medicine sketch shows in our lounge showroom. And then, you may recall, the world kind of ended for about 18 months. But we are back in business, and we're celebrating in a big way. Again, with a sketch show October 20th in our main showroom. Here to talk about that show, about sketch comedy, and about their troupe in general, two members of Bad Medicine. It's Andy Wild and Layla Dorici. Layla and Andy, how are you guys doing?
Doing great, Chris. How about yourself?
Oh, I keep it real. It's the only way I know how to keep it. So, how about you, Layla?
Doing well. Good. Life's good. No complaints.
No complaints. You're not trying hard enough. Very good. Well, you two are just two of my general understanding of Bad Medicine. I've been working with you guys for a few years, and I still have no organic understanding of how large the vast organism that is Bad Medicine actually is. You're one of, I guess, 47 to 49,000 people who are all within this gigantic sketch collective. Actually, for people who aren't familiar with Bad Medicine, tell us a little bit about how big this group is, where y'all come from.
So if everyone came to a meeting, we would have 17 people in Bad Medicine. But we've never had a situation where 17 people actually came to a meeting. And that is somewhat by design. The group is so big so that we have a fair amount of flexibility. And now it has come up before where like 12 people want to do a show. And that's a lot of people to do a show, especially if we're traveling and we've got 20 minutes somewhere. Like trying to fit 8 people into a 20-minute set is difficult, or to make 8 people feel like they're involved. And especially if they've said like, you know, we're doing a show in New York and they've said to their friends, hey, come see me in New York. We don't want them to be in one sketch or something like that. So that's been a challenge. But when we prepare for individual shows, what usually happens is that we have a director and an assistant director, and that's what Layla and I are. And then the whole group, or a large portion of the group, is involved in the writing process. And then a smaller subset is actually acting in it. So for this show, we have 7 actors. What amounts to a little more than an hour of sketch comedy. And so that's enough that everybody gets nice meaty stuff for their friends to come see. Everyone's just looking for meat, including the vegan in our cast. But in terms of how I came to Bad Medicine, at this point, I am probably about in the middle of, in terms of people who've been in Bad Medicine. I've been in Bad Medicine for about six years, maybe. And I essentially went to a sketch comedy kind of open mic night at Dojo Comedy, where I met the people who are in Brick Penguin, which is another sketch group in DC, another really great sketch group in DC, who recommended I go to a DC sketch comedy happy hour. I went to one 2 weeks later, and that's where I met Isaiah, who's one of the founding members of Bad Medicine, and he invited me to a rehearsal. And now I'm involved in the planning of DC Sketch Comedy Happy Hours. Chris, you were at one not too long ago.
I showed up and I had a large beer. It was a very pleasurable time.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of you in that
come
beer.
Full circle. Yeah. Layla, how did you? Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Layla?
Well, I just wanted. To
Yeah. I would say that not everybody in Bad Medicine is an actor and a writer and a director. So like, there's a lot of room for you to kind of like do as much or as little as you want, and there's plenty of space for you to like grow into roles. And so we have people like creating storyboards who've never done that before in any other capacity. There are a lot of people who kind of like hang back and let the writers write and then show up when it's time to act. And part of that is like we have moms in the group, we've got dads in the group, we've got like people whose lives just kind of like get busy and so they can't be there 24/7, and which really is really helpful for when we need somebody to step in to yeah. take a role. But in terms of, I guess, getting involved with Bad Medicine, I was at a New Year's Eve party. I don't know. I was there for the first meeting. So how long have we been around? Like 7 years or something like that?
I think the group was formed in 2013.
Yep.
Okay. But yep. yeah, I must have been at that New Year's Eve party. And Julian Morgan was one of the founders. He came up to me and he was like, "Hey, you should do this sketch thing. I've been like, me and a couple of other people are getting involved. We're just getting off the ground." I was like, "Okay, yeah, that sounds like a good time." And then I just kept showing up. And here we are, almost 10 years later.
So what was the background before that, though? Because it's not that people are just, you're not walking up to random people on the street and be like, "Hey, oh, you want to be a sketch comedy group? buy some Amway products." No, I mean, what was the background before that?
Yeah, I guess I started in improv, and I thought it was 2012, 2013. And Julian and I had done like a workshop with Topher. That's where we met.
Yeah, cool. And Andy, what's your artistic background?
Well, I started doing sketch comedy in college, actually. My first week of my freshman year of college, I auditioned for a sketch comedy group at Johns Hopkins. Throat Culture was the name of the group, which is gross and medical, just like Johns Hopkins. Bringing you all your COVID statistical information. Thanks, Johns Hopkins. So I did sketch comedy there for 4 years, where I was almost exclusively an actor. And then I kind of took a break from it after college and felt the itch to do it again. And I think it was about 2 years after college, year and a half maybe, that I got back into it, and have been very happy. And now I got back into it more on the writing side.
Yeah.
I now do both acting and writing, but do more, probably write. I write a lot more. Like for this show, we did a lot of writing. I wrote 16 sketches for this show. Like we're doing three or four of them, but
put
like
a kibosh on how many we could put in.
Yeah. We limited the number that could be put in, and we vote. So as the director, I wasn't able to just be like all 16 of these. And
as much as he tried, to do that, it didn't work.
So like you said, guys, one of the things that's fascinating to me is that I come from a stand-up background. Stand-up is, of course, extremely selfish and self-oriented, that you go in, you write, you perform, you do all that sort of stuff. In a sketch group, you guys all can wear so many different hats. Like you mentioned, you could be a performer, you could be a writer, you could be a producer, you could be a director, you could do all these different things. From the time you guys kind of stepped in, how long does it take you to sort of find your niche or try on these other hats? I mean, is it something where everyone has encouraged to sort of dip their toe in these various pools, or is it something that you just kind of organically like, "Yeah, I like bossing people around. I want to direct. That's what I want to do."
I mean, do you have the natural leaders who kind of emerge, and then you have other people like Isaiah is always like, "Hey, you know, it would be great if you took a leadership role," which he's done with me. He just kind of like gently pushes me more into a leadership role. But yeah, I would say we kind of explore. Isaiah has like a background in film. He's an editor at IMG. And so he kind of...
Isaiah Hedden, who's one of the founders of Bad Medicine and producing our show at the DC Improv.
Yep.
Yeah. So he kind of spearheads all of the media related things, whether that's producing or creating video and film. And then a lot of people kind of under his wing have grown into positions, like I said, storyboarding and kind of learning how to shoot things and learning how to edit things. And then some people just come around to it naturally.
I was gonna say I think Layla hit it on the head, is that like, you know, I think we often identify people early on in terms of what, at this point when we're bringing in people in, we're usually identifying what we like about them. And at this point, it's usually they're a very strong actor or they're a very strong writer. We tend to be looking to add more writers because that is often the more challenging aspect of things is actually writing. But we really do encourage, once people are in, we encourage people to try other things. And because of sketch comedy, because we do, you know, obviously pre-COVID, there were lots of small shows, there were big shows, there were travel shows, there were lots of opportunities that were kind of like low risk for people to try directing or to try a new thing. And so we encourage people who are new to take those opportunities.
So you guys are the director and the assistant director for the upcoming show, October 20th at the DC Improv. What do you enjoy about directing? Is it the raw power? Is it the ability to ruin people's lives? What is it specifically that drew you to this specific role?
I love hurting cats. And that is really what this directing sketch comedy is.
That's hurting, H-U-R-D, not hurting, H-U-R-T, in case
yes,
anyone was...
No. I am very affectionate towards our feline friends. I'm just trying to keep them in line. But for me, the thing I love about directing is shaping the show. I have a theater background before I did sketch comedy. I did theater in high school and in college. And I love kind of the, you know, putting the pieces together of the show. I like the blocking, like figuring out, okay, how are we going to move through this? I really like trying to get the most out of actors. And my whole approach as a director is basically, very rarely am I going to tell someone how to read a line or something like that. It's more like, you read the line, tell me how you interpret the character, and then I'm going to do my best to make the best version of that character. I like that kind of working with an actor, those one-on-one kind of like, what if you try this? What if you try that? I really love that aspect of directing.
How about you, Layla? Is it just the joy of undermining Annie at every turn, or is it something else that draws you to the assistant director?
Very pleasurable. No, it's, I think this is maybe the second show I've done assistant directed, and it's kind of nice to be able to see what goes into the process, because it's a lot, even bigger than coaching the actors. It's even bigger than scheduling. There's so much that goes into it, especially like depending on the show. You have to create a tech book. You have to like work with the tech people. You have to make sure you have a photographer there. So there's like all these little details that come together. So I like seeing that stuff on the back end. Although I'm not a fan of organizing at all because it makes me too sweaty. but I do like being able to make decisions about what gets done. Like, what are we keeping and what are we cutting? And normally as an actor, I kind of just like sit by the wayside and watch people kind of make those choices and agree or disagree. But it's nice to have that say in the show and be part of that crafting the bigger thing.
So you guys have a library of established sketches. You have things that you know that work, things that you've done in the past, whether it's a live sketch or whether it's a video sketch, something you prepared in advance. You have this library of stuff. You're always writing new stuff. As you're coming together for the October 20th show, you know, it has a name. It has a title. It's The Show Must Go On, right? You know, you're mixing up what the presentation is, but do you see each show as having like a universal theme or kind of like a through line that holds the sketches together? Or is it just trying to come up with a collection out of everything that you have, you know, as you're pulling stuff off the shelves of new and old, as you're just trying to come up with the highest quality product? Or is there some sort of like a thematic thing that holds us all together?
It's a good question. And it honestly differs show to show. I would say
the director.
Yeah, it definitely depends on the director. My personal approach is generally much more, let's find the funniest things. If we can work through lines through it, often in the form of what we'd call a runner sketch, which is kind of like the recurring sketch. It's not something that you'd see a lot on like Saturday Night Live just because they can't devote the time to it. But for us, it's something that you'll see, like there is a sketch in this show coming up that shows up four different times in the show. it's like a minute long, and then about 3 minutes long. And that's something, those things we find tie the show together, or other things that are more just like little hints to the audience. Like there's a company that's mentioned in two or three different sketches, but it's always the same company. It's something that's mentioned in passing. And it's not something that the writer wrote in initially, but it's something as we're doing to create a sense of cohesion. And something that I was taught in high school that I still think about is that like, audiences like feeling smart and like feeling like they got something. And so putting in those little breadcrumbs is for the audience to have those moments of, oh, hey, that's that thing I recognized from before. That's how I'm thinking about it. Less so of like, okay, how do we craft like a singular show? I think if it's just like a smaller writing team, like I think we had 8 different writers contribute to this show. If it was just 2 or 3 writers working on it, it would be easier to write a show that is more like a single kind of story or something like that told through multiple sketches. But as we're trying to involve different sketches, different sketch writers, and get the best out of everyone, that lends itself to more of a variety feel, like a Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. And we don't write in a group. Everybody kind of writes on their own time and then brings it to the writer's room, where we read it together. We talk about what's working, what doesn't work, and then they go back and edit it mostly on their own. So I think, again, if we were doing more of that like group writing style, we might be working more in a theme, but or like some kind of larger story. But for the most part, a lot of it's done independently and worked on together to make it better.
For the things you guys, well, for people who haven't seen you guys before, like I said, there's a mix of live sketch and then some stuff that you've done in video before. You guys have quite a bit of video stuff online. What's the website? Refresh my memory.
It is badmedicinecomedy.com. Let me double check that.
There might be a DC in there, but I think.
It's our social media that is Bad Medicine DC. But no, our website is badmedicinecomedy.com.
Excellent.
Yes.
There's merch.
The founders of the group were not aware of the Bon Jovi song Bad Medicine when they founded the group.
Your love is like Bad Medicine.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
Exactly. It is now the song that we close shows with. But
I think
like,
maybe they did know about it.
Oh, I was Isaiah told me he had no idea.
What's Isaiah? I'm pretty sure EK was like, it's fine.
Probably. That's Elizabeth EK Kemp, who was kind of the originator of Bad Medicine.
So for the video stuff, I know this is something that you guys, you know, particularly during the last 18 months pandemic, there was a lot of stuff was on the shelf. You couldn't really do live shows. A lot of people shifted to video. A lot of sketch jumped to online. A lot of people had kind of breakout stuff. How much do you guys work on video stuff? Kind of, is that always buzzing in the background? Is that something you're always looking to put out a new video sketch every few months or every few weeks or whatever it is? How does that process work?
I mean, it seems we have sketches that kind of come into the writer's room and we say, is this better for stage or is this better for video? And then from there, they kind of start breaking it down into like a video form. I think that's kind of how it's decided. And we kind of go back and forth on like, you know, how we should be using TikTok more. We should be using these social media platforms more. And we tend to go a little bit more formal with our videos. And we're kind of in this place where we're trying to figure out how to do both, or, you know, do we want to have one particular image and what that looks like? Andy, you can go ahead and add to that.
Yeah, our video sketches, I think, as Layla was saying, we're in this kind of in-between space right now where we're working on producing kind of short form videos for Instagram Reels, for TikTok, yeah, for kind of how long people watch things on Facebook. Like, we know that that is hard. I remember the first video we ever made that was something that was I wrote is 7.5 minutes long. And I'm very happy with that sketch, but I would never in my life put out a 7.5 minute long video now. I would be upset if I did a stage sketch that was 7.5 minutes long. Like, so you evolve over time. And I'd say what it is right now is basically, obviously, COVID has complicated the production of things. So during COVID, it's been a lot more making things at home, shooting things like I've got a ring light right here. So like shooting things with a ring light and trying to make something that's quick and dirty. But I think kind of generally, we were probably looking every between 3 and 6 months producing a really high quality video. And we've done a number of those and they've been featured in some really cool places like the HBO's Women in Comedy Festival. They've been a part of the Charm City Comedy Festival, the Baltimore Comedy Festival, Philly Sketch Fest, Seattle Sketch Fest. One of the great things about sketch comedy is that lots and lots of cities have sketch festivals. So there are lots of opportunities to perform, but we've had our videos featured in some interesting places. So we do try to put out these kind of tentpole videos that are like, we're devoting a bunch of time and frankly, a bunch of money into making this look nice. And we really benefit from having Isaiah Hedden, who we mentioned before, who's a professional editor, Colin Chocola, who's a professional videographer, mostly does news stuff. And Tammy Heimlein, who produced videos when she was in the Army and worked doing video production in the Army. So we have three people who have really strong video backgrounds who really amplify the stuff we do to a whole nother level.
Cool. So like during the pandemic, I think Andy sent me a script. I filmed it at my house. I posted it on the Dropbox, and then Tammy edited it. So it's just kind of like went through all these different stages.
Without ever, without any of you being in the same room at the same time, right?
Yeah. Exactly, exactly.
Very cool.
And it makes for a really interesting process, because Layla gets my script, and then she basically ends up making calls on her own about what works, what doesn't work, what she can do a little differently. And then Tammy takes all the raw footage and further refines it. And one of the hard things about sketch comedy is self-editing. That's why sketch comedy is often usually done in groups or pairs, because sketch comedy does not lend itself to one person writing it. If you remember, and most people probably don't, but Aaron Sorkin's short-lived Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Sure. Yeah, Matthew Perry, right? Yeah.
Exactly. But he was writing, in the context of the show, he was writing an hour and a half long sketch show alone every week. Like, there were cast of writers, but the whole part of the premise of the show is that he'd return to write the whole show.
Yeah.
And I mean, that show failed for a number of reasons, but from a technical sketch comedy reason, no one's writing an hour and a half of good sketch comedy every week.
We all know that's the real reason that was a bad show. That's the real reason that it was just completely not true to sketch comedy ethic. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have any solid evidence, but I will say that's debatable. Stand up.
So you guys mentioned one aspect of sketch comedy is that a lot of times it clusters around cities. You guys, for people who don't know, have traveled all over the country doing this, taking your show to different festivals, West Coast, Midwest, South, North, all over the place. And it's a lot of times it's a community where there's a lot of reciprocal arrangements. People are kind of, you go up to their place, they come down to yours. If most people think of cities that are sketch cities, they clearly think Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago. Those are probably the big three, right? How do you think DC stacks up as a sketch destination? Is there something about this area that makes it suited or special, or makes the sketch that comes out of here a little bit different or a little bit distinct?
That's a very good question, Chris.
I guess it's interesting, because when you move around to different cities, like your work plays, like the jokes, you find secret jokes that nobody laughed at in DC. So you're like, what is happening? And then, you know, you have something that goes great in one city and friggin' bombs in the next. So it's really hard to tell like who your audience is going to be in some respect. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's been really cool being able to play in front of a lot of different places. And I would say a lot of people expect us to do a little bit more like politically leaning comedy, and we don't do that. It's actually one of our goals is to kind of steer away from that.
We like explicitly don't do political comedy.
Yeah.
I would say that's the expectation for a lot of people, because we're the DC Improv. Everyone's like, oh, it must be just nonstop busting on the government. And you're like, no, people want to get away from that. They don't want to.
Exactly. And the whole thing, like, if you're a weekly show or something like that, you can do political stuff because it can be zeitgeisty. It's really hard to write a political sketch in July and perform it in October.
Yeah.
Like, because it's just irrelevant.
The news cycle now lasts approximately 35 minutes. So
it's
very hard to stay on top of that. Yeah.
and returning to your question a little bit, in terms of where like DC stacks up as a sketch city, I think it's really interesting that you called out LA, Chicago, and New York. Because in our experience, like, Chicago and New York, big, big sketch scenes. The actual sketch scene in LA is a lot smaller than you'd think it was. Like, from our experience, there are more thriving scenes in Seattle and Philadelphia than there is in LA. Mm. Because LA does have, I think, more of a stand-up focus. There are definitely sketch groups, but it's rare that sketch groups are kind of rising to the cream of the crop in LA as they are in some of these other cities. And I think DC is a city that has so much potential as a sketch comedy city. I think we have really strong groups that exist right now. But one of the things that, you know, Isaiah and I really make a point to do is try to encourage people who are in other comedy scenes to get involved in sketch. DC, as Chris, as you know, obviously, at the DC Improv, DC has a thriving improv comedy scene. There are multiple theaters in DC where you can learn get great instruction on improv. The DC Improv being one of the best, if not the best one. Let's certainly plug it. No, I wouldn't lie about it. I know who teaches improv at the Improv, and they're people that I would want to take improv classes from.
There you go.
And we want to encourage that people who are, because there's probably, there are hundreds of people doing improv in DC, and there's probably 35 people doing sketch comedy. at least 35? Like performing live shows.
Like on a regular basis.
On a regular basis. Yeah. On a regular basis. There's probably 35 to 50. So there's this huge untapped potential in DC of great improvisers and great stand-ups, because those two skill sets do translate to sketch. It's different, and you have to, you know, reconfigure how you're approaching your comedy, but they do, the skill set can convert to sketch.
So the two of you guys, you're directing this show. I assume you're also performing in maybe one or two of the sketches as well. I've had the pleasure of seeing both of you guys on stage before. And I think something's very interesting. Say people watch like Saturday Night Live. They know that a lot of the comedians have a wheelhouse. Maybe one person's really good at playing quirky, like completely nonsensical, silly characters. Maybe one person's a really good impressionist. Maybe one person's more into physical comedy. I've seen the two of you guys on stage. As performers, what do you personally think that you bring that that makes a show extra special?
Oh, Andy, what do you bring?
She didn't volunteer anything, Andy. She just put you on the spot.
I like to think my silly answer would be I like to think I'm good at comedic yelling, playing angry for comedy pretty well. I think partially because I don't get really angry about very much in real life. So I can tap into it fairly well for comedy. What'd you say?
That it is a relief when you're like given the script. You have permission to just like go nuts. It's like filled with.
You get to blow off some steam for sure. I think having a theater background helps a little bit, and I think I bring some of like having a bit of a theater background. And I'll let Layla answer for herself too, but Layla is one of the most gifted physical comedians I've ever worked with. It's almost like, I don't know if she's ever trained as a contortionist before, but Layla can move her body in these just hilarious ways that just her on stage, just moving around is funny. And
I think that's what people say about
very
me.
Gifted.
The way I just walk across the office makes everybody uncomfortable.
It's a lot of elbows. It's just a lot of elbows flying around. But what would you say you bring, Layla?
Yeah, I would say that's what most people tell me. Is they're impressed by the ability, the shapes that my limbs can create.
I will say that.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Bad Medicine did a show a few months before the world ended at the DC Improv Lounge, and there was a sketch that you guys did in that show where Layla was playing a basically like a lounge dancer or something like that. You had a very very kind of like a fancy like a showy dress on, and the basic premise is that the guy who's running the spotlight is doing a terrible job of spotlighting you, and it was one of the hardest I think I've ever laughed at any. I've been to, bear in mind, hundreds and hundreds of events at the DC Improv. It was maybe the hardest I've laughed in the last 3 years watching that show, that sketch and the conclusion of it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I still remember it. We actually put it in our a picture of you in that sketch on our urine review poster.
I saw it over the toilet.
Wow, that's so great. That's so great. Yeah. Well, and here's a funny thing about how sketches come to be and like how you could be very wrong is like, I remember when we read that sketch in rehearsal, I was like, I don't think this one works. And I was very happily proven wrong. But that's one of the interesting things about sketches, that sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes it just doesn't translate off the page for everyone. But then you get up and you give it to the right person. And they take it, you're like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Elizabeth brought that one to the to the writer's room, and everyone was like, I don't know. And I was like, I got this. And they're like, well, can we see it? And I was like, nah. I'm just going to move around and you just poorly spot me, and then I'll attack you, and then that'll be that.
There will be blood.
I will say, in that show at the DC Improv, JP was supposed to do like a stage run where he's like not really running away. Turns out he just sprinted away. So I had to sprint out. And then when we hit each other, I had to tackle him, but it was supposed to be like a stage tackle. It ended up being a very real tackle. And I hit the ground so hard.
Didn't you yell like, oh shit, or something like that?
When that was JP when I got JP, him. Yeah. Yeah. I think I still have an injury from that fall.
Very good.
Very fondly.
So you might see NFL like violence if you come to the show on October 20th. That's even
worse. We did cut the sketch that involved Layla having a head injury. There was a sketch where Layla was supposed to come on stage and hit her head and turn around and have a big gash. But we cut that for a variety of reasons.
Scare people.
Yeah, exactly. Just because it's 10 days from Halloween doesn't mean we want to frighten people.
We got feedback that people were, I think it was the first time we had run that sketch. They were really concerned because, I mean, it looks, you're like rolling around the floor and stuff. And they were like, we thought you were like really bleeding. It's like,
yeah, people thought it was for real, which is crazy.
That's the level of reality and commitment. They're method at Bad Medicine.
It's method sketch comedy. It's exhausting.
Rehearsals. It's amazing if anyone survives, really. Yeah. If you make it all the way through to the actual show, it's a real testament to your physical, your conditioning.
You have great stage eyes. Like you just, I don't, maybe it's just the anger that comes through your eyeballs, but you have like great expressions that I always enjoy. Thank you.
I remember I studied abroad in Tanzania, and I remember having a friend there who asked me like, how many facial expressions can you make? I was like, that is a question I do not know how to answer. But this comes back to the kind of the theater training I had. I had a director in high school who gave us the assignment to make a face in the mirror every day until you made a new face. Like just keep making faces until you made a face you hadn't seen before. And I did that for months. And I just think it helped like with like developing like elasticity and kind of like coming up with faces. And yeah.
So one of the big questions I like to ask everyone who does anything is kind of what motivates them. And to give a little background, I come from the world of stand-up. I have a pretty good grasp on the economics of stand-up comedy and how it works. And this will not come as a surprise to you guys. Sketch comedy, if you become a big star, you can obviously make a ton of money and be very fabulously wealthy and all that sort of stuff. But particularly at the lower levels, it's even the economics of sketch comedy and improv comedy to a certain extent are even worse. That the people who are doing it at the local level, who are doing things like what you guys are describing, that a lot of times it is a labor of love, and it's something that you are really passionately committed to, you know. And it's sometimes the money comes, sometimes it doesn't, but it's not always this thing where you'd be like, on paper, this makes sense. I should be doing this. So I guess my question to you guys, it's kind of a big picture question, but I think one that's worth asking is, why do you specifically do this? What do you personally get out of this that makes you want to be a part of this amazing collaborative thing that's going to come together on October 20th?
I guess like getting started, I had graduated from college and I had entered the working world and I was so bored with everybody that I was meeting and around, and there was nobody who was just willing to get weird and be vulnerable and those kinds of things. And that's what led me to improv. And then that just kept happening. I just kept finding more and more people who are willing to just let it go. They're not worried about, I mean, everyone's stressed about their job, but they're not like, this is who I am, this is what I want to be, and this is what I'm working towards. It's just like, what's happening? I don't know what I mean. That people are willing to just kind of explore the bounds of, you know, human existence in a way. And then I try not to tally up like how much money I've spent on flights or Ubers or, you know, drinks at the bar on the, like, you know, all those things, like it adds up thousands of dollars for sure, easily. But I guess at the end of the day, what I get out of it is like what we were talking about earlier, is just sort of this creative release, this permission to be strange. In a very safe environment. And then it comes down to like collaboration. If I didn't like spending time with the people in Bad Medicine, I wouldn't spend time with them. And it's great. It's like made me a more well-rounded, interesting person, and I enjoy every minute, even the frustrating ones in the writer's room that I get to spend with these people.
Andy?
Yeah, I think that that spirit of collaboration definitely rings true for me as a reason for doing it. I think the biggest reason for me is the feeling I get when people are laughing at me. but when I have done something on stage, whether it's me acting or something I've written, and people are laughing and like reacting to it, it just is like this warmth in my chest. It brings me such great joy to create joy for other people. And you know, it's not like I'm someone who's, you know, trying to be the funniest person in the room if I'm out at drinks or something like that. It's not that. It's when I've put a lot of time and work into crafting a character or crafting a joke and seeing that translate on stage, even if the reaction is sometimes one of my favorite reactions I ever got was a gasp and then a laugh because it was a little inappropriate or something like that. Because in my mind, that means I'm getting people to engage with something in a little bit different way and maybe make them think, well, why did I laugh at that? And I'm not trying, I don't try to be too philosophical about the comedy I've written. I've written multiple sketches that end with food being smeared on someone's face. Like, I'm not shooting for the, you know, the apex of thought here, but I just love the feeling of hearing people laugh and making them smile, and it's just the best, and I'm constantly chasing that.
So my last question for you guys, this is of course the first time I think I mentioned in the intro that that to my knowledge that sketch comedy has been featured in the main showroom of the DC Improv. We have two showrooms. We didn't always. They used to do some weird theatrical stuff way back in the early 90s, but it wasn't sketch. It was like more like one-man shows and stuff like that. So to my knowledge, this is the first time we've had sketch featured in the main showroom at the DC Improv. Can you give
exciting.
Us? I know. Can you give us any hint? What's in store? Give me the elevator pitch. I guess is what I'm saying. If someone's listening to this and they're not on board yet, why should they come out and see you guys October 20th at the DC Improv?
One reason is that you're going to see 15 different scenes, and I guarantee you, some of them are going to make you laugh. And I don't mean to say that to disparage some of the other ones. What I mean is there's huge variety in what we're doing. There's going to be huge variety. So if you listened to Layla and I and thought, well, I don't find the two of them terribly funny. We didn't. We wrote less than a quarter of the show. There's going to be tons of other stuff for you to laugh at. We've got sketches about cowboys, about ice sculptures, about murder mysteries. We've got sketches about accounting. Like, we are all over the board. There's going to be stuff. There's a sketch about eye surgery.
Butts exploding.
We're all over the map. It's butts exploding. Yes, there's a sketch about butts exploding.
It's not highbrow, but it's great. I'm currently working on some choreography for one of the sketches. So there's some dancing. There's going to be music.
There's a dance number.
It'll be fun. And it's always nice to know that the people on stage like have a good time with each other. You know, that's something with, like, if I go see a musical performance and I can see the musicians like looking at each other and working off of each other, it's that much more enriching for me because I know that they're working together. This is a group of people who really enjoy being together.
Don't go see Hall & Oates. They hate each other. Yeah, don't ever go see Hall & Oates. It'll ruin the whole thing for you. Yeah.
The reason I said earlier it was like herding cats is because we just start laughing and go on tangents in rehearsal because we're having so much fun doing this together. And I think what Layla was saying, like, that's, if you go see a band that you've never heard of, but you see that they're having fun on stage, that makes it more fun for you. Even if it's not the music that you like, this is going to be a fun show. You're going to enjoy yourself at this show, whether or not you laugh at every sketch. Because
Gonzalez is extremely talented. I've seen her.
Yeah. Our stand-up opening up for us, Jill Gonzalez. So if you don't like sketch, come see Jill and then stick around and see what you think. Because it's going to be great. Sketches, you know, famously hit and miss. There's no way around it, just because everyone has different sensibilities.
Yeah.
But then you get to enjoy our shame when we bomb. You know, everyone gets to bathe in
During a show, the things I will laugh at the most backstage are jokes that don't work. Because I will know the amount of time we've put into a joke working. And then you'll hear silence in the audience and like backstage from me because I'm like, well, that didn't work at all. And that's not to say that jokes won't work. All of the jokes will work at the show and you'll laugh every minute. Every joke is fantastic. You know, but there's something for everyone, which I know is a very cliche thing to say, but we know by the nature of sketch being variety that there will be something that you will find funny.
I will vouch. I find you guys very, very funny, and I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys come up with October 20th at the DC Improv. Layla, Andy, thank you guys so much for chatting with us, and we will see you guys on stage in just a few weeks.
Yeah, Chris, we are so excited. And if I might plug, we'll be teaching sketch comedy classes through the DC Improv as well.
Yes.
You can find information about that on the DC Improv's website. If you want, if this podcast sounds interesting, if you go to the show on the 20th and you think, boy, I'd like to know how to do that, we teach a level one and a level two class. It's a ton of fun. And yeah, we love teaching. And a student who took our class over the pandemic is now a member of the group. So it is a pathway to joining sketch comedy and to meeting other people who do sketch comedy, for sure.
Very good. Very good. Layla, any last thoughts?
You look great tonight, Chris. I'm just
thanks.
Really impressed.
Yeah. Very handsome.
Glowing.
Very
thank
handsome.
Thank you. I put on my dress t-shirt for this. Very good. Well, on that happy note, let's take it home. Bad Medicine, October 20th at the DC Improv. Guys, we'll see you in a few weeks.
Thank you, Chris.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Bad Medicine. Bad Medicine makes DC Improv history October 20th, that's a Wednesday night, with the first ever sketch show in our main showroom. Tickets are $15, and you can get them at dcimprov.com. Head on over there. If you want to find Bad Medicine online, they have a great website. Just Google Bad Medicine DC, or find them on social. You can find them on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. It's all the same handle. Bad Medicine DC. Bad Medicine DC. Go check them out. It's worth it. And hey, if all goes according to plan, this is just the beginning. November 20th in our lounge showroom, we've already got Bad Medicine Presents Sketch Night. That's a Saturday. It's going to feature Bad Medicine, another local troupe by the name of Homeless Fire Party, and an out-of-town troupe, TBD. Again, Saturday night in our lounge, November 20th. That's also on sale at dcimprov.com, so check that out as well. And with all that said, let's take it home, shall we? Our thanks to Andy and Layla for taking the time to chat with us. Our thanks to you for taking the time to listen. And hey, how often do you get to be a part of history, huh? Get down to the DC Improv October 20th for Bad Medicine. The show must go on. October 20th at the DC Improv. Tickets at dcimprov.com. But however you're spending your time these days, we sincerely hope you're spending part of it laughing. Thanks as always for listening, and we'll see you next time on the other side.